Chapter 41. Arion. Out from behind one of the crimson draperies, a slender woman proceeded into the firelight.
I would recognize those grey eyes of yours anywhere, Airy,
Kira said, as she unashamedly batted her long lashes at him. Her deep hazel eyes reflected the light from the hearth. She had grown into quite the woman. She wore brown leather pants and a white laced tunic, but it wasn't her tight-fitting trousers and top that grabbed Arian's attention. It was her long leather overcoat, an exact replica of his, apart from the color. Unlike Arian's, hers was a deep red. Arian felt embarrassed at the unexpected attraction. He remembered the first time he had seen Kira in red. It had been the day he first set foot in Erremor as a 12-year-old boy, the day she had beaten him unconscious and stolen, quite literally, the clothes off his back. With Arion and Amaresia's hands bound behind them, Kira ushered the guards out of the room. One of the men handed Arion's swords to Poe before shutting the door behind them. Arion could hear the latch flipping back into place. Poe moved off to one side of the hearth and proceeded to nurse a half-empty glass of wine as he busied himself studying the unusual black steel.
I've always wondered what these looked like up close. Amazing work. Who made them?
A smith in Rowan, I was told. Kira, like a lioness having her den intruded upon, slowly circled the two. It's been a long time, Kira, Arion said, watching the oil from her leathers glisten in the light of the fire. You're going to say something or just dizzy us with your prowling? Kira finally stopped and turned to Poe.
Why are there two people here? I told you to get Airy. Was there a sale? Kidnap one and get a free hussy on the side.
Amaresia shuffled her feet with a huff. Poe swallowed his wine.
He was right where you said, Red. He just wasn't alone.
Arion was confused. How could you have possibly known where I would be? I hadn't even planned on leaving the palace this evening.
Well, we didn't. That's why I had people watching at all hours over the last 2 days, waiting for you to come out. It just happened to be tonight.
Kira walked over to look Amaresia over.
So, who's this pretty little strumpet, huh?
With a harsh glare, she reached out and flicked a lock of Amaresia's blonde hair with her finger.
I never imagined you wanting a blonde, Harry. Your taste always ran a little darker.
With that, Kira swung her own long raven hair around the front of her shoulder and ran a hand through the waves just to add to the tease. Amaresia planted her feet and arched her shoulders.
Like a fine wine, a man tastes better with age.
Arion could see the fires building behind Kira's eyes, and he knew from experience it was best not to get her riled up. But instead of placing a piece of cold steel through Amaresia's breastbone, Kira stepped in front of Arion, wrapped both arms around his neck, and kissed him hard on the mouth. Arion was left speechless. Something about Kira's lips sparked a repressed desire and distant passion he had long since forgotten existed. Kira separated to catch her breath. Licking her lips with the tip of her tongue, she savored the moment while smirking at Amaresia. Apart from the embarrassment he was feeling at having just been taken complete advantage of in front of the woman he was building a relationship with, Arion was feeling guilt for not only enjoying the short-lived connection, but not wanting it to end. Amaricia kept her eyes locked on Kira, matching her stare for stare. "So why am I here, Kira?" he asked, hoping to douse some of the tension building between the two women. Kira ended their competition to look at Arian.
"The name's Red. Only my friends can call me Kira."
"I thought I was your friend."
Kira's eyes darkened.
"You thought wrong."
Arian remained silent. She was right. He had been the one to leave. But when the king offered him a position in the royal palace, how was he to refuse?
"Things change,"
she said, breaking his dismal reminiscing. He nodded. "I'd say. Look at you. Clan chieftain. I mean, how does something like that happen, anyway?"
"Let's just say that after you left, it didn't go so well for the rest of us. And when you're living on the streets without home or family, and you don't have anything else to lose, you'd be surprised what you'll do to survive."
Arian could hear Poe grunting his agreement in the background.
"Ruthlessness is a commodity held in high regard around here. Turns out," she said, with a nonchalant wave of her hand, "I seem to have a knack for it."
She smiled. But instead of warmth, Arian felt a cold tremor crawl up his spine.
"More than a knack, I'd say,"
Poe added, waving his goblet to her in salute before downing the last remaining gulp. Arian was stunned. Here he was, reunited after such a long time with his childhood friends, and instead of emotional hugs and tender words, he was standing bound in front of two people he hardly recognized. Arian's face must have betrayed his thoughts, for Kira's eyes narrowed. She took two steps forward and punched him square in the jaw. The force of the impact spun him around, nearly causing him to go to one knee.
"Don't you dare look at me with pity," she hollered. "I'm not ashamed of who I am or what I've done. I did it to survive. Look at me. I'm the Warren's chieftain. Me, little old Kira. I didn't need you after all. I got here all on my own. So don't you look at me with those self-righteous eyes. You think you're better than me because you rub shoulders with the king, or live at the palace, or walk around town with soft, blonde-headed tarts like this. Well, you're not, Arian. You're not."
By this time she was panting, and her entire body trembled with anger.
"You're right, Kira," he said, licking the blood from his mouth.
He was tempted to spit it across her white rug, but decided against it.
"I don't know what you've been through. I'm sure I can't imagine. Probably don't want to. If there was a way I could go back and do it over, I would. You, Poe, and Reavy were as close to me as any family."
He paused a moment to take a breath and let his words sink in.
"I'm sorry, Kira. Truly."
Kira's shoulders stiffened as she turned away from his gaze.
"Curse you, Arian. You always did have a slick tongue in that beautiful mouth of yours."
Amaricia kept her eyes on the clan chief. Arian could see she was uncomfortable having to listen to Kira's overt declaration of past feelings. Arian glanced around the room once more, and it occurred to him that someone was missing.
"Speaking of Reavy, where is he?"
The name brought Kira up short. She kept her back to him, staring into the flames, as if searching for the answer hidden amongst the burning timbers. She accepted a glass of wine from Poe and turned back around.
That's why you're here.
The look in her eyes wasn't lustful or even vengeful, but contemplative, as if she was trying to decide whether or not she had made the right decision in bringing him down to talk. What's wrong? She took a long swallow. After wiping her mouth, she laid the glass on top of a two-drawer cabinet used for nothing more than holding her serving trays. There were quite a few.
He's missing.
Arian's chest tightened. His thoughts immediately drifted to the small, clumsy kid with the gimp leg and big heart that had taken him in so many years ago, the one who had saved his life more times than he could recall. It was Reavy who had shown him how to survive on the streets when he had first arrived in Erremore as a child. It was Reavy who had shared with him his hidey hole under the granary, who had kept him fed as he taught Arian how to maneuver within the seedier segments of the enormous city. What do you mean he's missing? Kira looked at Poe, and then back at him.
Now, I know I don't speak all highfalutin, like little Miss Prim and Proper here, but I thought I was pretty clear in what I said. Do I need to spell it out for you? He is missing,
she said, punctuating each word.
No longer among us. Completely unreachable. Vanished from sight and, all right, I get the picture.
Arian was getting frustrated. He wanted to know what had happened to his childhood friend, not listen to her livid ravings. Kira shook her head and regarded him with a cool, speculative glare.
You know, Poe, I think maybe we made a mistake. He's not the same Airy we used to know. He's been civilized.
Poe's demeanor darkened as he spat a mouthful of red wine at the fire and watched the flames react.
This was a waste of time.
Part of the burgundy liquid landed on one of the closer rugs.
Watch it, Poe.
Kira backhanded him in the chest.
I just had those furs cleaned.
A scowl brought some soberness back to his eyes. Poe went back to refilling his glass.
I told you this was going to be a waste of time.
Kira turned back around to look at Arian.
Yeah, maybe you were right. He's clearly lost his spark.
Arian's brow tightened in frustration. Just tell me what happened. Was he taken by a rival clan? Poe wiped his mouth with his sleeve.
No. Well, we're not sure. He disappeared around the same time that the vanishing started.
Vanishings? Kira paced across the room, a face cut in shadow.
The last anyone saw of him was 4 nights ago, near the upper docks, between Bayside and Kingsway West. He was looking for a group of street kids that had gone missing the night before. You know how sentimental Reavy is toward the street rats.
Arian could almost picture it. Reavy with his gimp leg limping through the streets, helping children where he could. His eyes almost misted as a wave of memories washed across his mind.
I know that look, Kira.
Arian could tell by the way she was striding back and forth in front of her long sofa that she had something on her mind.
You have your suspicions. What aren't you telling me?
Dropping onto the cushions, Kira let one of her legs dangle from the end.
There's been talk about people disappearing. No one knows what happens to them, at least not for sure. We've heard rumors of masked men roaming the streets at night and rounding up the homeless from some of the outer districts, mainly the ones closest to the water. Until now, we'd figured it was just some of the wharf rats down by the waterfront, complaining about not getting enough help with the coming frost. But there's even been talk of seeing them in the Warrens now.
So, You think whoever is taking these people is responsible for Reavy?
Kira nodded.
I don't mean to be blunt, but what exactly is it you think I can do? This is the Warrens we're talking about. It's not like I can just walk around and interrogate people. I wouldn't last long enough for Poe there to finish his drink.
He's got that right, Red.
Kira flipped around to where both her feet were now planted firmly on the rug in front of her.
I don't need you here in the Warrens. I need you talking to the King. These are his citizens, after all. They're his responsibility.
Arya nearly laughed.
Are they? The clans have made it pretty clear that apart from bringing an army down here, no one is going to enact any kind of justice over the Warrens.
You pride yourself on living outside the law, doing whatever you want, regardless of how it affects everyone else. And yet, when you need something, you kidnap me at knife point and demand that it is somehow my responsibility to take care of it.
Arian's eyes narrowed.
I think you have sadly misjudged the situation, Kira. If you think I'm going to bow to your whim just because you have managed to crawl your way to the top of the food chain down here.
Kira was on her feet before Arian could bat an eye. A knife appeared from one of her sleeves.
I'm not ashamed of what I've had to do to survive.
Arian could feel the cold anger behind her gaze.
I did what was needed, and now look at me, she said, as she gestured with her knife to the lushness of her living quarters. Chieftain to the Warren clans.
Kira pointed her dagger at him.
You'll either swear right here and now to go to the King, or you and your hussy will never leave the Warrens again.
Arian took her at her word and readied himself.
He pulled down on the manacles, nearly forcing his shoulder joints out. He couldn't believe how much Kira had changed. By the look in her eyes, he had no doubt she would make good on her threat. But he wasn't sure how far she would go, if pushed. And he needed to push her. He needed to force her to let her emotions take control just for a moment.
You'll find I'm not so easy to push, Kira. Unlike the rest of those you surround yourself with, a wag from your skinny tail is hardly going to tempt me to do anything.
Ah!
She rushed him. Arian knew he had crossed the line that time, and smiled as he drew her in. He waited until her momentum couldn't be stopped before he acted. Dropping to the ground, Arian curled into a ball and rolled backwards. The tight positioning of his body allowed him to bring his arms down and around his lower half. He quickly tucked his legs through the manacles and brought his arms back out to the front. Continuing the roll, he pushed off with his hands and landed on his feet in time to meet her head-on. Using the manacles as a weapon, he wrapped them around her knife hand as she thrust it toward his gut before dropping once more to the floor in order to throw her over his head. Kira was so surprised by the attack, she didn't even have time to scream, as her momentum carried her completely over Arian, where she landed with a heavy thump across one of her bearskin rugs. The impact knocked the breath from her lungs, and her knife clattered to a stop near the door. Arian was on top of her before she had time to turn over. Poe dropped his glass in shock, pouring the remainder of his drink across the front of his tunic as he reached for the closest available weapon, Arian's blade.
Touch it and you lose your chief,
Arian said, as he kept a firm lock on Kira's neck with his iron bindings. Poe froze.
He's bluffing, you idiot.
You want to test that theory?
Arian had no intention of hurting Kira, of course, but he knew the way Poe felt about her would keep him from forcing Arian's bluff. Poe had always been smitten with Kira, even as kids. He had just never been bold enough to admit it.
Amaricia,
Can you be so good as to get Kira's knife for me, please?
Arian watched as she walked over to the door and dropped to her knees. With her hands still bound behind her, Amaricia had to plop down onto her backside for better leverage. Curling her fingers around the handle, she rocked herself back to her knees and then to her feet. She crossed the room and laid the dagger in the palm of his bound hand.
Arian stood and brought a reluctant Kira up with him. He kept the dagger close to her throat.
Now for the keys, Poe.
Arian moved behind her in order to keep her between Poe and himself.
You better kill me, Kira threatened, because if I ever get out of here, Arian, I'm coming after you.
Arian lowered his head and whispered into her ear, Then I guess it will feel like old times, won't it?
His chuckle produced an irritated grunt from her.
Poe laid the sword back against the hearth and reluctantly started forward.
That's close enough, Arian said,
when Poe got within a couple of steps.
Now toss Kira the keys.
Poe obeyed. Arian tightened his grip around Kira's neck, gently prodding her to unlock the cuffs. As soon as the metal bracelets hit the ground, he moved her back a few steps in the direction of the door and away from Poe's reach.
Now what?
Kira asked.
Now I want you to uncuff Amaricia.
Arian took the loose manacles that had been around Amaricia's wrists and placed them on Kira's.
Poe, do me a favor and walk over to Kira's bed, will you please?
Well, seeing as how you asked me so nice and all.
He grumbled before slowly making his way over to the left side of her large, overstuffed mattress.
Now turn down the sheets.
What?
You heard me. Turn down the sheets.
Kira squirmed with irritation at the sight of Poe dressing down her bedding.
All right, that's good. Now let's get you tucked in for the night, shall we?
What?
Am I stuttering? I said get in her bed.
Don't you dare get in my bed, you dirty oaf!
Poe stopped with one leg halfway under what appeared to be silk coverings. Arian pressed the knife a little tighter against Kira's neck, putting a temporary halt to her tongue. Tapping his foot, he nodded for Poe to finish climbing in.
Wonderful, Arian said. Now, I don't know what kind of uncivilized behavior you're used to down here, but somehow I doubt you sleep fully clothed.
Poe's eyes widened.
That's right. Take them off. But, I'll be naked.
Nothing gets by you, does it?
You get naked in my sheets, and I'll skin you alive right after I cut you somewhere very unpleasant.
Kira hissed.
Now, Kira, what kind of hospitality is that to offer an old friend?
Amaricia giggled, but quickly stifled it with her hand when Kira glanced her way. Everyone watched while Poe stripped, careful to keep the blankets and furs high enough to stave off any embarrassment.
Come on, Airy, is this really necessary?
Poe tossed out the last of his undergarments and tucked the sheets under his arms.
It's a bit chilly in here.
Why did you have him do that? Amaricia asked.
To keep him otherwise occupied. Now, grab his clothes. We're going to take them with us.
Airy, have a heart. You wouldn't walk off and leave me here in nothing but my skin, would you?
They'll be returned in good order, I promise. If not, I'll get you a new set.
Amaricia walked over and grabbed Poe's clothing, holding them out for Arian to inspect.
Phew!
Arian wrinkled his nose.
By the smell of them, you could use a new set anyway.
Pulling Kira over to the fireplace, Arian retrieved his swords. He replaced one of them in its sheath on his back and kept the other out to ensure Kira's cooperation. After handing Kira's dagger to Amaricia,
He instructed her to use the shackles to bind Kira's hands behind her back. This is what's going to happen. We are going to walk out of here the same way we came in, except this time, instead of Poe leading us out, it will be Kira who kindly volunteers. After her little threat of us never leaving here again, I don't plan on taking any chances. Once we are safely out of the Warrens and back on our way to the palace, I promise to let you go. I don't take kindly to being kidnapped and threatened, and nearly stabbed to death for speaking the truth.
But what about Reavy? Kira snapped. I need your help to find him.
See? Now was that really so difficult?
Kira gritted her teeth and huffed. You know I'd do anything for Reavy. For that matter, I'd do anything for any one of you. But, he said, taking a deep breath, as a word of caution, next time, try asking first. It'll save us all an unwelcome headache. Arion kept the blade close to Kira's throat. Now, let's just hope your men out there love you as much as I do. He pointed Kira toward the door and the waiting guards on the other side. Now move!